Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, what's going on, Giants and Jets fans? Welcome to the latest episode of our Talk is Cheap Giants and Jets podcast from NJ Advanced Media, the Star Ledger, and NJ.com. Daryl Slater here. It's Tuesday evening, April the 16th. Hope everyone's doing well. It's 9 days until the NFL draft is mercifully finally here. As usual, Andy Vasquez, our Jets reporter, joins me. And last time we talked to you all about a month ago leading into the NFL's annual meeting, the owners' meetings coming out of free agency. So we knew what these teams had done in free agency, obviously. And we heard what the ownership had to say down in Orlando for the owners' meetings. And now here we are on the brink of a very important draft for both of these teams, especially the Giants, who, as we all know, could certainly draft a quarterback to replace Daniel Jones. So that's the thumbnail sketch of where they're at. Andy, how you doing?
Doing good. I was on mute. How are you? How's everything going?
Good. We are. I should note here, Andy and I are both Red Wings fans for reasons that no need to explain. We are kept following the score on our phone here, and you're watching, and so as we go. So if you hear someone yell, there you go. I know.
We'll try to keep it professional.
Yeah, the Devils are out of it. Our good buddy Ryan Novosinski does a great job covering the Devils. Actually, I should note that Ryan will be helping out with our Giants draft coverage. So if you see his byline, he'll be helping out with that. So obviously the Devils season is done. He'll be still doing Devil stuff, but helping out on the draft. And it's going to be a busy draft for both of these teams. And I guess we can just start with the Giants. And it's, look, everyone knows they could draft a quarterback to replace Daniel Jones. I mean, Daniel Jones can say all he wants that he feels like he's the best option. Of course he's going to say that. My gosh. I mean, like, you know, be like, you know, if your wife comes to you and said, like, do you think you're the best husband for me? Yeah, or whatever. I don't know. It's a horrible metaphor. But like, you know, what else do you expect the guy to say when he's asked directly? When he's asked directly, like, that question, of course he's going to say that. So really, honestly, we could wring our hands all we want about the guy's recovery from an ACL. If they draft a quarterback, who cares? You know, it's like, you know, yeah, maybe he starts, but it's all about at that point the guy who they would have drafted. So at this point, everyone knows Caleb Williams to Chicago at one. We know that's happening. Then at two, Washington has a decision. I think most people think it's probably going to be Jaden Daniels. That's where things get interesting at three. Will the Giants trade up to three? Will somebody else trade up to three? Will the Patriots take a quarterback? Will the Patriots take Marvin Harrison? What happens there? That's the big tipping point for the draft, particularly as it pertains to quarterbacks. As we've said, the Vikings at 11 are a team to watch, maybe even the Broncos at 12. So that's where you could see a run on quarterbacks, certainly. If Arizona trades out of four too, as well, like say New England stays at three, picks a quarterback in Arizona, trades out of four. And then the Chargers obviously are not drafting a quarterback. So the Giants, if they stay at six, they could be looking at maybe not even getting a top four, one of the top four quarterbacks, if they don't want to trade up to say four or three. If they stay at six, quarterbacks could go 1, 2, 3, 4. Could be looking at Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, maybe not in that order, but certainly Caleb Williams first. Yeah, so a lot of moving pieces here. Coming out of the owners' meetings, you know, which was a few weeks ago, John Mara basically said what you'd expect him to say. You know, he puts the trust in Joe Shane to make the decision, right? So if they want to draft a quarterback, go for it. And that's basically what they said. So not really a surprise. You know, John Mara had some other things to say about the state of the Giants' O-line and some other stuff, but we're focusing here on the draft. And that's where they're at. I mean, this Giants brass has done some significant quarterback research. They can downplay it all they want, but they got a quarterback in Daniel Jones currently who's 5 years in, has not consistently played like a franchise quarterback, and he's had durability issues. So like, they can get out of his deal after this year. I mean, all sort of signs point to this team drafting a quarterback with a premium pick, whether that is six, whether that is trading up into the bottom of the first round, or whether that's even 47. I don't know that who will be there at 47, but you pick a quarterback in the second round, that's a premium pick, especially when you only have one pick because you traded away 39 for Brian Burns. So that's where things are at with the Giants. What's the overall view on the Jets situation at 10? Stay there, trade back. That seems like their options. And if they stay, who do they look for? How far back could they go, do you think? And what positions are you expecting them to target?
Yeah, I mean the obvious needs are offensive line and tight end. I'm not tight end. Wide receiver. There's been a lot of buzz, obviously, about tight end with Brock Bowers and everything that goes with that. For a number of reasons, I don't think that's a good idea. But I think best case scenario for the Jets would be what you said. There's a run on quarterbacks, and then the way Joe Douglas has handled this offseason being as aggressive as he can be given his constraints financially, I think they should and would trade up to get one of those premier wide receivers there. And I think that's the biggest impact guy you could have on your team right now. And for all this talk of a tight end and Bowers, you look at, especially over the last 10 years or even going back the last 20 years, you don't draft a tight end in the first round and get much or that kind of value out of him. It just doesn't work. It doesn't happen. I don't know why the Jets of all teams would think they would be different in this, especially in this scenario.
Kyle Brady.
It's a no. It's a hard no. And I don't want to hear all this stuff about how Bowers is different and he's not like a slot. He's not like a normal tight end. You can put him in the slot. You can put him wherever. Hey, guess what? You need a creative offensive mind to do that. Did anybody watch the Jets last year? Does anybody know who the offensive coordinator is? It's still Nathaniel Hackett. You're going to trust him to draw up the offense for this guy that's creative and put him in positions to succeed? I mean, yes, you could say Aaron Rodgers will make the adjustments, the proper adjustments, and help him out at the line of scrimmage, maybe, but what if he can't even show what he can do in practice? It's not, that far-fetched. Look at the whole Mecole Hardman thing. And never even gets that chance. So I just don't, it does not make sense to me, and especially with those other guys there and the fact that it seems like there's going to be a run on quarterbacks. I just think the Jets need to go with a sure thing there, or if they're at 10 and the weapons are off the board, the top-tier weapons, you go with the offensive lineman, because if the top tier weapons are off the board and the quarterback, I'm sorry, and the receivers are off the board and the quarterbacks have gone, like there's going to be the tackles there. I mangled that, but I think you know what I'm saying. If the quarterbacks are gone and the weapons are gone, there's going to be a good offensive lineman, a good offensive tackle there for the Jets at 10. And I think you take the one who's at the top of your board, as long as he has a value in the top 10. But yeah, it just does not make sense to me to do the whole tight end thing. It seems like the one way they could really screw this draft up. And I know, like, maybe he'll end up being a great player. It's nothing against him. It's just the situation the Jets are in, and the history. It just does not make sense to make that pick to me.
Yeah, and the situation they're in, of course, is a win now situation. They're going all in with Aaron Rodgers, which makes sense, obviously. And you alluded to that run on Marvin Harrison's not getting to six probably, and not getting I guess, but definitely not getting to 10. And you talk about the other receivers, Malik Nabers being and Rome Odunze being those other big two. Maybe Odunze falls to them at 10. That would be a
Yeah.
fascinating pick. I think they'd love to see that, of course. In terms of the tackles, the names to watch, obviously Joe Alt's going to be gone. He could go to the Chargers, I think, at five. Fuaga, the kid from Oregon State, Fatanu, the kid from Washington, and Fashuna, the kid from Penn State. Those would be the tackles. So J.C. Latham, the Jets hosted him right on a visit I saw as well.
Yes.
And if you look at where PFF has these guys on their big board, Alt's fifth overall in the big board, Fuaga 13th, Fatanu 15th, Fashuna 17th, Latham 18th. So you're talking about, some pretty well-regarded tackles, obviously positional value being what it is. And this, of course, being a really great receiver draft too. Harrison at two on their big board, Nabers four, Odunze six. So really, really good receiver draft. So if you're a team that doesn't have to necessarily reach for a quarterback or like draft for like need per se. I mean, you talk of Jaden Daniels is 21st on PFF's big board. McCarthy's 28th, and those guys could be top five picks, right? And so Drake May's three and Caleb Williams is one. I know this is obviously their, just their opinion on it, but you it's a great position to be in to not need a quarterback. Obviously a ton of pressure on the Jets to win now and win immediately, and certainly a ton of pressure on Joe Douglas to get this pick and have it be a high impact guy, to get this pick right. And not just right as in like, okay, eventually he becomes a good player. No, they need a guy who can play this year and take pressure off Garrett Wilson, right? I mean, do what Alan Lazard couldn't do last year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and you can't rely on Mike Williams because of his injury history. I mean, there is a chance it works out, but they have to have some sort of, backup plan, and they really kind of do at tackle too. But you can, I think, you're the way their line is set up right now. Even if they draft a tackle early, it's not a lock that he's going to start, and if he's not starting, it's a lot to ask. I think we talked about this last time. It's a lot to ask for a tackle to come in there midstream and kind of do things. So I don't think for this year there's that big of a difference between first round and third round in that market, because I know the draft is deep, but yeah, I mean it's the pressure is on. They have to find guys who can contribute. They have to fill some of these needs. They also really need a safety, a guy to compete for that. So I mean, those are the three big needs. They're obviously not going to pick a safety in the first round because the offensive needs are much more pressing. But that's the other thing, and that's if you have a grade similar to where those tackles are after Alt, like maybe you can trade down. It's so much easier to say that than to actually do it, because there'll be a reason why a team hasn't. Why the Jets won't want to pick there. So it'll be hard for them to just, make a trade. And it's hard to believe that, given the draft history and everything I just said about tight end, that somebody's going to go up to get Bowers or something like that. So it's may not be an easy spot to trade out of, but if they can trade back eight or nine spots, they could still get a top tier talent, have a second round pick to maybe get a receiver who can still contribute or be a really, there's a good track record of guys being second round picks and playing well in this league, and third round picks now too. So, as at wide receiver, so there are a lot of options, but I just have a feeling that there's going to be one of these top tier receivers there at six or seven, and the Jets are going to go get them because they kind of need to.
Yeah, I mean, you alluded to it—a deep receiver draft. The Texas kid, Adonai Mitchell, 22nd on PFS Big Board. Brian Thomas from LSU, 25. Troy Franklin from Oregon, 29. Ladd McConkey, 32 from Georgia. Keon Coleman's 41. Roman Wilson, 42. I mean, look at all these guys in their top 50 on their big board. Ricky Pearsall, 45. I mean, so
Yeah.
you alluded to it. You can get, maybe the seventh receiver off the board. The guy's going to be a pretty good prospect. Could get that guy in not the first round. Now, that dovetails into what I was going to just talk about there, is that the Jets don't have a second round pick this year because they traded away 49 to Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers. And of course, the Giants traded away 30 or 41 to Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers, I think is what I said or meant to say. 39 is what the Giants traded away to Carolina for Brian Burns. I mean, borderline first round pick, they traded away for Brian Burns while paying him enormous money. I mean, the guy better be elite. And so the Giants still do have 47 in the second round, but that's significant draft capital that these teams have given up. And if you look at Tankathon, which does a really good job of kind of streamlining all this, they have draft hall power rankings, basically, like how powerful are the totality of your picks. And the Giants are 11th in that. Obviously, the higher the better. The Cardinals are one, but the Giants are 11, and the Jets are way down at 27. So that's going into the draft. You can always trade back, get more picks, whatever. Trade up and lose picks, but yeah. So that's where they are. I mean, these teams don't have, certainly the Jets don't have a ton of draft capital. Their margin for error is squeezed, and certainly the Giants' margin for error is squeezed as well by trading away that pick for Burns. So if you go through the full order of the draft, I mean, the Giants have one in the first round. They have one pick each in rounds 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. That's where they're at. It's pretty straightforward for the Giants. in terms of the Jets haul. They have one pick each in rounds 1, 3, 4. They have two actually in round 4. They have nothing in round 5, and they have one in round 6. I think I got that right. And then two at the very end of the draft, the last two picks in the draft.
Yep, that is correct.
Yep. So I got all that really quickly. Just looking through it. Obviously, nothing in round 2 hurts. I guess maybe the extra fourth rounder. Oh, they got 111 and 134 in the fourth round. So, okay, fine. But let's real quick. We don't have to go through every possibility of what they could do for all of their other positional needs, and you kind of touched on it. So I'll start here with the Giants, and you can maybe get into more in depth with what the Jets might do outside of the first round. So if as you go through this Giants depth chart, and we kind of did this coming out of free agency, but it's good to kind of reset where they're at right now in terms of we all know the quarterback situation, right? With the Giants, what could they address offensive line in the draft? I don't know. I mean, they invested pretty heavily in that in free agency. It seems like that's kind of they have their guys right now with who they're going to roll out there. Certainly a lot of question marks still on the offensive line, and Andrew Thomas or Evan Neal rather being the biggest. You know, is this guy is they going to try to move him into guard? Would he be any better there? Is he going to be any good at all, regardless of where they play him? The Giants do not have a number one receiver, which is why certainly if they don't draft a quarterback, they could get a receiver high because they're going to potentially bring a kid in, and he won't have anyone, I would just say, imposing to throw to. Darren Waller at tight end might retire. Could they draft it? They didn't really address the position in a significant way in free agency. Could they draft a tight end? Yeah, I think they probably will draft a tight end. Running back, and you know, Devin Singletary, not a big splash signing. A mid-round pick on a running back maybe could make sense. Now we're talking about all these things they maybe could do, and you're only six picks, right? And so, and look, I mean, a fifth round running back, Eric, that was Eric Gray, right? You're not expecting that guy to make an impact, so necessarily ever potentially. And so that's sort of where you're squeezed a little bit. But these are positions the Giants, I think, conceivably could address. Receiver, obviously. They could do something on the offensive line where they get a tackle. I don't think Jermaine Illuminor is a long-term solution for him, and Evan Neal might not be either. I mean, he looks like he's on his way to being a bust. Until proven otherwise, I think it's fair to make that statement. As we mentioned, the Waller retirement situation, and then running back, a quarterback. It's like all across the board. I imagine every position on offense. I don't know. Maybe not a running back, because they did just draft Gray in round 5 last year, and then no duh on the quarterback. Yeah, I mean, everyone knows that's they don't have until you have a franchise quarterback, you ought to be looking, and they should be looking, and they are looking. The spots on the defense where they probably should feel pretty good about where they're at is their front overall. Obviously, their edge rushers and Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeaux, they're not going to draft a significant name edge rusher. Maybe they could get some depth in the defensive line. Then again, they do have DJ Davidson there and Jordan Riley to go with Dexter Lawrence, Jordan Phillips, and Raheem Nunez-Roches. So, I mean, they've kind of addressed that. Maybe a little bit of interior D-line depth. Do they like Micah Mc? Does Shane Bowen, the new DC, like Micah McFadden as the starter next to Bobby Okereke? Does he want to try to do something different there? That okay, maybe. But then as you move back into the secondary or into the D in the depth of the defense toward the secondary, that's when the questions really, really become significant. They did not. They didn't replace Xavier McKinney really at all in any significant way. This secondary is currently anchored by Deonte Banks, who's the new number one corner. Rocky, rookie year last year, I would say uneven would be fair to say, maybe more so than Rocky. So what do they do there? Who's the starting safety next to Jason Pinnock? And who's the number two cornerback? Are they going to roll out Nick McCloud? Would they? I mean, Dory Jackson's still available. He didn't have a good year last year. He's probably declining. And so that's fair to wonder too. Corner and safety, a couple other positions to watch for the Giants. So as you look at the Jets, Andy, what besides the spots you mentioned in terms of receiver and in terms of tackle, what else could they look to address in this draft? I mean, their defense is obviously great. Do you see where do you see the biggest holes either on offense or potentially within that defense? You did mention safety, of course.
Yeah, we'll start there. And safety is, I mean, basically the Jets have Tony Adams, Ashton Davis, and Chuck Clark, who's coming off a year where he didn't play and coming back now on a prove-it deal after tearing his ACL in last June in off-season workouts. So it's a question mark. I think Tony Adams, they like him. He did some nice things last year. He was probably their best safety last year. They lost Jordan Whitehead, and the fans kind of had a mixed relationship with him because he made a lot of big plays in terms of leading the team on in interceptions the last couple of years, but also made a lot of mistakes that cost him games, and really costly errors in coverage at bad times. So I don't think Jets fans are going to be missing that, but then you look at this draft and it's not stacked with safeties, but they got to pick someone up. Jaden Hicks, I think on the Athletic's big board, he's around 40. There's a chance, there's maybe a chance he's there early in the third round, and after that, it's a drop off. You got a pretty big drop off there in terms of the safety position. So, the Jets are going to have to, Hicks is ranked as a second round guy. You got Javon Bullard from Georgia, and Tyler Newbin from Minnesota, all late second round type third round guys. Cole Bishop from Utah. There's not a lot of guys that jump out. I know Hicks is exactly what the Jets like. He's a big guy at 6'1", and he can play close to the line of scrimmage. I've been mocking him to the Jets the whole time. If he's there in the third round, I think that will be an easy pick for them. But also they have other things to manage. I think on the offensive line, they're no matter what they do in the draft, they're going to have to sign a veteran tackle, a veteran swing tackle. Will it be David Bakhtiari? I mean, it doesn't not make sense right now, but they can't really rely on him. But it's at that point, it becomes a numbers game. You got to hope that one of these injury-prone tackles on the back end of their career can make it through a season. But I think him and maybe they got to look at bringing in another guy or drafting a guy at tackle. I mean, really, that's it. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a running back in the fourth round. Right now, the Jets only have Breece Hall, Izzy Abanaconda. That's basically it. If they think they can get good value for a running back in the fourth round, something like that, it could make sense. They obviously value the running back considering what we've seen recently in free agency with obviously Dalvin Cook last year, and what we saw in the draft with Joe Douglas trading up to get Breece Hall very early in the second round in 2012, 22 in that great draft that he had. Really the draft that has made the Jets what they are right now and put them in this position where you pick up Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, Jermaine Johnson, and Breece Hall in the first 34 picks. And all four of those guys are on a path to potentially be superstars. So that's why the Jets are in contention right now. Joe Douglas has one pick in the first 30 now and has to have obviously not that kind of impact, but needs to make sure it's an impact player. And we've seen he can do it, but it hasn't exactly gone great in the first round outside of those picks. So it's going to be really interesting to see, and there's so much at stake. And I just think, given how much is at stake, that's why I think not only will they probably trade up if one of those top receivers is there, but I think they should because they need the closest thing to a sure thing that they can get in the first round.
Good breakdown there. So I think that kind of catches you all up to speed without us kind of going on and on forever
I mean,
about
nobody
both.
knows what's going to happen. That's the thing.
Yeah, no,
Like,
I think it's
look at
we
the
kind of give
GMs.
people a good idea here potentially of where the areas in need. And you all kind of you guys kind of know out there where these teams are hurting. Certainly the Giants, ton of roster holes. But we always close our podcast during the season with prediction, right? So who's going to win the game coming up? So let's give you our predictions for what these teams are going to do in the first round, the first pick. So what will the Jets do at number 10 or higher or lower? Just throw it out there. What are they going to do? Will they stay? Will they go up? Will they go down? And who are they going to pick?
I think they end up with Odunze, and I think they'll probably have to trade up to get it and give up next year's first round pick.
How high are they going to
That's what
go? Where do they go?
I think it'll be at seven.
So
They
seven.
can't because they can't trade their third round pick this year. They need it. So They
Seven.
really don't have options.
Yep, that's Tennessee there at seven. The Giants, I think they are going to maybe be bold as well. You're talking about a situation with the Jets where they're all, they got to win now, right? Because they have Aaron Rodgers. Well, you're talking about the Giants and a GM and a head coach who are under significant pressure, especially the coach. This is a regime that needs to deliver results. Yeah, the 2022 year may be some fool's gold, but there's some serious pressure. They need to get a quarterback. If they don't get a quarterback now, it might never happen for Joe Shane. He might never have a chance to. Who knows? So this is their opportunity to do it. They may not be back to the top of the draft soon. They've had 2 years of Daniel Jones. If you got to have seen enough by now, I think they move from 6 to 3 and they get Drake May after Jaden Daniels goes to Washington, and a big bold move. That's for sure. It's basically it is what the Jets did in 18 to move up 3 spots, 6 to 3 for Darnold. In the deal with the Colts that cost the Jets 3 first-round picks, 2 in that current draft, 1 the next year,
Wild.
or 3 second-round picks rather, didn't work out. It does pay to be bold at quarterback. I mean, I know that did not work, but because the payoff is so huge at the position, it does pay to be bold. To
Do
take a
you,
shot.
with
So
the Giants, do you buy any of this McCarthy talk, or do you think it's a smokescreen? Or I'm just curious, as you know this GM and you know how he operates,
what
so I'm just curious.
that they're enamored with him or
Yeah, and that they're willing to trade up to get him. That seems aggressive and interesting.
yeah, I don't. I mean, he does not have NFL size. I mean, you look at Drake. And yeah, Daniel Jones has NFL size too, but okay, it didn't work out. But I just don't think you see very often a guy who is, Mahomes is a different kind of cat, obviously with the skill set that he has. I think May is a guy who can be certainly molded. I mean, he strikes me similar to Josh Allen, right? I mean, a physically imposing dude who may be a little bit of a project. And look what Brian Daboll did with Josh Allen. So that would kind of mirror that situation. I could totally see why he'd be a guy who they would fall in love with and then they could want to move up for. Now, will the Patriots want to move back? I think May just strikes me as a better prospect, just not having studied every bit of the guy's film. But I think that that would be a better move for them. Well, who knows? I mean, we don't know, but I'm just, I think logically, if you look at it in terms of how teams typically target players, and they got to go in terms of what teams look for, rather, but they have to go get a quarterback now. Now is the time to do it.
I
Strike
agree, yeah.
and be bold, be aggressive. And I think May's the guy if the Patriots are willing to trade back. Now, if they're not, then the Giants have to assess. And in terms of what it could cost, again, I brought it up, 3 second-round picks is what the Jets traded. Now, the Giants don't have those. Don't have 2 second-round picks next year and don't have 2 this year. Again, they traded away 39 for Brian Burns. That was ammo they could have used for a trade up move. So we'll see what that winds up costing them. But yeah, it's certainly, gonna be a premium because you have to pay more to move up for a quarterback than you the draft chart would tell you, obviously, in like just a vacuum. Yeah,
It's
so
always
that's
interesting. It's always interesting how these guys, these quarterbacks, they don't play any more games after the season, and they start with a late first round grade or maybe out of the first round, and then next thing you know, here we are.
Yep. Yeah.
It's crazy how that works every year.
Narratives change it. The rather meaningless nature of the scouting combine, but I think also some of these interviews. Maybe I guess I don't know. I mean, to me, it's about how the guy plays. I guess you can run the guy through your offense and see how he processes on the chalkboard. But okay,
Yeah, doesn't matter until the
doesn't always
fire's alive.
translate. It doesn't always translate. We know that, and we've seen that. So we'll be back with you guys after the draft, like probably the week after, like early that week, because it's a busy few days for us. Maybe that Tuesday or Monday or something right after the draft to digest what these teams have done. In the meantime, be sure to like, rate, review, subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. We appreciate everyone listening as always, and we'll have plenty of coverage we have had and will continue to have, and certainly during the draft. Plenty of coverage at nj.com/Jets, nj.com/Giants. If you're wondering, the Canadians are up a goal at the end of the second period. and the Caps and Flyers are tied. I don't need to explain. If you know, you know. And what needs to happen there by the time this podcast comes out, the hockey
I
playoffs
didn't
or
yell for either
even,
goal, so.
yeah, there you go. So I think the hockey, the hockey playoffs will be. I don't know if is that the last spot in the East? Is it that everything else is set?
I think the Islanders locked up the first wild card on what is it
Everything's
on
set.
Monday
That
night. Yeah,
that's the
it's
very
Tuesday
last
night.
spot. It could be sewed up tonight. You could have your hockey playoff field, which can ride you all through if you're into hockey, ride you through till really almost training camp for as long as the playoffs go now. But Giants and Jets are now in their voluntary offseason programs, which will have OTAs, practices, and all that good stuff. And we'll be out there covering all that as usual. But for now, it's all about the draft and a big draft for these teams. We'll see what they do. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Enjoy the draft and take care.